If you would, go ahead and open to the book of Proverbs 31. We're going to spend our entire time right here in the book of Proverbs 31. It is the end of the year. December is almost done, which means January 1st is just a couple days away, right? And we all know what happens on January 1st. It's pretty traditional for people to say, they look back at the year that has just finished, and they say, this is what I did. I can't change any of that, but we're about to start a new year, and so I will resolve to do these things differently, or they will make their New Year's resolutions. And so the one of the best passages I can think of in the entire Bible about New Year's resolutions, or just living the life that you're supposed to live, is here in Proverbs 31. We call this the excellent wife, or the worthy woman passage, because that's the wording used in whatever translation you have. This passage right here, starting in verse 10, going all the way through verse 31. Who is this passage for? This passage is aimed at unmarried girls or women who want to one day be an excellent wife. This passage is meant for married women of all ages that are resolving to be the best wife they can be. Or this passage is also aimed at godly men who are looking for a godly wife that will contribute towards a healthy home life. And so whether you're a man or a woman, we can go through these passages and see what it looks like to be an excellent wife. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through all these verses, and I'm going to say what the Bible says, because I don't want to, I mean, the Bible's going to say it better than I would have anyway. After I read what's in the Bible, I'll bring out a couple modern day examples of how that could happen, how that could play out. For example, we'll just start in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. So verse 11 says, the excellent wife, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. What does it mean? What does it take for a husband to trust in his wife? This woman, this excellent wife, needs to have a history of putting the needs of her relationship or the needs of her family above her own. So maybe she was daydreaming about a fancy vacation, but then the washing machine broke or something like that. And the money that had been saved up for the vacation is now being spent on the washing machine. She's putting the needs of other people in front of what she wants. That's one way. And she needs to do that habitually to where she has a clear history of doing that so that her husband can trust in her. Maybe her husband trusts in her because she's not hanging out with the wrong people. Maybe she's not having bad influences in her life. Maybe she's not flirting with members of the opposite sex, trying to attract additional attention on top of what her husband is giving her. She's not hanging out with people who are gossiping and slandering others. She's not encouraging people that might have a crush on her, even though she's married. Maybe her husband trusts in her because she consistently makes good decisions. Maybe this woman really likes mudding and she wants a Jeep Wrangler so she can go out mudding, right? But she has a family and she wants to buy a minivan instead of this big four-wheel off-road vehicle because she's making good decisions. She's putting other people's needs ahead of hers. Maybe that's a big decision that she could make. And maybe it's just little decisions that she could make, like how to make people feel welcome in your home. You're going to hear Devin cringe because I'm probably going to be talking about her a lot in this sermon. When my father-in-law, her dad, when he comes to visit us, she goes and buys Good and Plenty's. Little tiny box, just like $1 box of Good and Plenty's, because her dad really likes black licorice for some reason. So whenever he comes and visits, she just does this little thing, buys him a box of Good and Plenty's. And so that's another good decision that she can make that would help the heart of her husband trust in her. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What does it mean when an excellent wife does her husband good? She's not vindictive. She doesn't hold things against him when decisions don't go her way. Sometimes the husband and a wife think there are two different possibilities for resolving the situation, and you got to choose one way or the other, and sometimes it doesn't go the way that she wants, but she doesn't hold that against them. She doesn't look for an opportunity to get even. For example, maybe she finds out that the reservations for dinner are not at a restaurant that she likes. She's not going to be running late on purpose so that she doesn't have to go to the restaurant she doesn't like. That's not the type of action that a worthy wife or an excellent wife would do. And I'm sure there are a lot of other examples, but that's just one I came up with off the top of my head. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, something else an excellent wife does is she looks for wool and flax, and she works with her hands in delight. She's She's looking for materials so that she can be industrious and make things with her hands. She's proactive in her industriousness. We don't really work with wool and flax much these days, but maybe she is looking for materials or scavenging parts to fix things so that you can extend the life. Like, maybe she knows there's a part on this thing over here that can fix this thing over here, and therefore we can extend the life and the usefulness of this thing. It's just that the excellent wife is looking for things so that she can be industrious, so that she can better her household and the life of the people around her. And she's doing it in delight. I think that's an important point to point out in verse 13. Continue on in verse 14. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She's the excellent wife is diligent in making sure that her family has what it needs to eat, even if it means a lot of effort, even if times are scarce, you don't have a lot of income, the budget is tight. This excellent wife is making sure that her family has what it needs to eat. And she's also making sure that her family has a variety of food, not simply the closest, easiest thing, like here's another box of macaroni and cheese. I mean, if times are tight, you do what you have to do. But this excellent wife here she's going a great distance. She's going afar to make sure that her family has a good variety of food and not just the easiest thing. Doritos and Skittles are really easy, but that doesn't make them the best meal. And she's making sure that her family has the best meal. 15, she rises while it is still night, and she gives food to her household and portions to her maiden. The excellent wife is not lazy. She's not trying to soak up every last ounce of comfort that this life has to offer. She's not lying in bed while other people are needing things. She's up and she's finding ways to serve. She's not a slacker. Verse 16, the excellent wife considers a field and she buys it, and from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's not afraid of manual labor. She's looked like buying a field and working a field. I've had a small garden, a little bit smaller than the Tolles' garden. I know you guys have seen the garden in your backyard. A garden that's even smaller than theirs, like, that's a lot of work. So to buy a whole field and work that field and profit from it, this excellent wife here, she is not afraid of labor, even hard manual labor. My back gets stiff, like going out and weeding a garden. I can do it for 15 minutes and I got to stand up and be like, my leg. But she's not afraid of that. She's out there. She's doing manual labor if that's what needs to be done. And on top of not being afraid of manual labor, she's wise enough to know how to consider the aspects of a wise purchase. If she knows she's going to plant food on this plot, is it really rocky soil? Does it drain well? Does it, you know, like all the things that go into a garden? She knows how to consider a good purchase. She makes a good purchase, and then she works with that good purchase. That's what an excellent wife does. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She doesn't make excuses like, I don't feel like doing it, so that's a man's job. We'll just let the men do it. Or she doesn't complain that it's hard. She doesn't complain that it's manual labor, things like that. That's what an excellent wife does. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. When she looks at the things that she has done, she senses that her productivity, her economy is good, and she stays up late at night working on it. So when I was growing up, my personal example of this is my mom was trying to make a little bit of extra money while she was raising my brother and I, and while she was getting her, I thought it was a master's degree. It wasn't. No, please, Devin's shaking her head. She was getting her degree at University of Maryland. So to get a little bit of extra income, she was doing little arts and crafts so that when there was an arts and crafts fair, she could have a booth, and she was selling like little trinkets and hand-painted Christmas ornaments and stuff like that. And she did that late at night, even though she was tired from dealing with me all day. Even though she wanted to go to bed, she had already put in a day of studying and writing papers and stuff like that. She stayed up late working on that stuff, doing what this passage tells us, being industrious. 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. The excellent wife is skilled. She's not slack about work. Even if it's a boring, tedious task that she has to do all the time, she's actively participating in the work, even though she's not paid to do it. It's just something that it is one of her duties, and she just does it. Verse 20, the excellent wife extends her hands to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. The excellent wife notices that people need help, and she's compassionate towards them, and she finds ways to help them out. We've already talked several times about her bettering her family. But it's not, it doesn't stop there. It's not just, hey, I'm taking care of myself. She's finding time to actually help other people outside of her immediate circle and make sure that if she sees somebody in need that she can help, then she helps them. She's not greedily holding on to what she has earned and keeping it for herself. Maybe she's making a meal for people who don't have a meal. In verses 21 and 22, the excellent wife is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So the excellent wife here is planning ahead. She knows what's coming. She knows it's going to be cold. It's August right now. It's going to be December. It's going to be cold, unless you live in South Carolina. It's going to be cold, and we're going to need warm clothes. And so she thinks ahead and says, I'm going to make sure my kids are warm. I'm going to make sure I'm cold. And she diligently makes coats or socks or whatever. So maybe for a modern day example, if you lived in Oklahoma, you know that a tornado might come. And so you have like a little go bag. Make sure you're prepared because you know something, a tornado is eventually going to come, and you make a way to be prepared for that. Verse 23, the excellent wife's husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The worthy wife here is making sure that people know about her husband. She recognizes the good thing that her husband is doing, and she's quick to congratulate him or mention to other people what a good job he's doing. She's sincere and complimentary of him to other people that are willing to listen to her. Now, we have to be careful here because this could become prideful if it's left unchecked, right? You know what my husband did the other day. No, it's not like that. She's seeing that other people are doing a good thing, in this case, specifically her husband, and she's praising him for being such a good person and making good decisions. Verse 24, the excellent wife makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. The excellent wife knows how to make money. The excellent wife knows how to be an asset to the family instead of being a drain to the family. She knows what needs to be done, and she pursues activities that will bring in income instead of wasting income. That's what I get from that verse. She knows how to be an asset for the family, and she is tirelessly doing that thing so that her family is better because it has her in it instead of worse because they have her in it. Verse 25, the excellent wife has strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. When I read that strength and dignity are her clothing, what I get from that is the first thing you see her, what let me back up and say that. When you see her, the first thing that you notice is obvious. She's not lazy. She's not brash, but she's confident and she's ready. These characteristics are so ingrained in her that that's the first thing you notice. Like, that's what she's clothed with. It's not just inside, it's outside, and everybody can see it. And she is, because of this, she's armed to take on anything that comes her way. Verse 26, the excellent wife opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The excellent wife carefully chooses to control the things that come out of her mouth because we know how destructive your mouth can be. The excellent wife knows how and does control the things she says. She uses the power of her speech for good. She uses the power of her speech to edify people instead of tearing them down. She uses the power of her speech to instruct in righteousness. She could use her speech to tear down or cause harm or stir up trouble, but that's not what she does. She edifies people. Like if somebody does a good job with a sermon or something like that, she says, hey, I really like what you had to say and how you said it, and thank you for encouraging me, stuff like that. Verse 27, the excellent wife looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The excellent wife here is, she's sitting there looking around, making sure that everything is taken care of. She's got a watchful eye, and as soon as she sees that somebody needs something, guess what? She's on top of it. She's proactive with it. She's not too busy entertaining herself with whatever. I mean, there's no shortage of ways to entertain yourself in this world. That's not what she's doing. She's not lazily sitting on the couch watching soaps and eating bonbons, the proverbial bonbons. She's not too busy to notice what needs to be done. She's actively watching, looking for ways to get things done, and then she does it. Verse 28, the excellent wife's children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done notably, but you excel them all. The excellent wife is so diligent and active that even thick-skulled husbands and ignorant children notice that she's doing an amazing job, and they praise her for it. Sometimes we men, like we, you have to beat us over the head 5, 6, 7, 11 times before we notice something. But she is so pervasively diligent about her duties that even her husband and children notice and comment on it. Rounding out that section of verses, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She's not doing all this because it's what she thinks is right. She's doing it because she fears the Lord. And therefore, because she fears the Lord, she thinks it's right. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So to sum up this, what we just read here, the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent wife, is a very active woman, diligently and constantly seeking ways to better herself, her husband, her family, and her community. And she routinely puts the needs of other people in front of her own needs and desires. And to kind of summarize that, everything around her is better because she is who she is. That's what I see when I read about the Proverbs 31 woman. And again, who is this passage that we just read? We just read most of chapter 31. Who is it for? It's for unmarried girls and women. These are characteristics that you're supposed to strive for if you want to be an excellent wife or an excellent woman, even if you choose not to marry. Like, just because you're not married doesn't mean you can't do a lot of these things and be considered excellent. And if you want to be, if you want this to describe you, now's the perfect time to start, because it's going to take a whole lifetime to perfect these things. This passage was written also for married women of all ages that want to be the best wife they can be. So if you are married, I'm going to ask you, how are you doing with this list? Are you excelling at these types of activities? Are you the type of wife that God's word exemplifies? And if you are a godly man looking for a godly wife that will contribute towards a healthy home life, look for a woman with these characteristics. It's a great checklist. It's not all-encompassing. There are other things to consider as well, but God's word is a great place to start. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say, I am done talking about the excellent wife. And we could stop right there, and we could say, we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman, and that's it. You know, please come forward as we stand and sing. And then we will all have been edified because we read God's word and we discussed it. I'm a little nervous talking about that section because it's me, a man, telling all the women what you guys are supposed to be doing, right? So now what I'm going to do is stop, and I'm going to talk about the Proverbs 31 man, the excellent wife's husband. And now I'm going to stop pointing at the women, and I'm going to start pointing at us men. Who is this section for? If we look at it from the standpoint I'm going to discuss, it's for unmarried boys or men that one day want to be good husbands. It's for married men of all ages that want to be the best, most supportive husbands they can be. And it's also for godly women looking for a godly husband that will help them excel at being a godly wife. That's really confusing, but I think you understand what I'm saying, right? Verse 11, let's look at this from the men's standpoint. If the heart of her husband trusts in her, how do you have a trustworthy wife? When she has earned your trust, trust her. That's what we can do as a husband to help our wife meet this requirement. If she's earned your trust, trust her. Don't hold grudges against her because that one time she messed up 5 years ago. Trust her. If you don't trust her, then maybe you need to have a discussion about what needs to happen so that you can trust her. That's your responsibility as a man. If you want to be able to trust your wife, you have things to do on your end. Verse 12, the excellent wife does him good and not evil all the days of her life. If you want this to be said of your wife, be the man that she wants to do good things for. Do things that will encourage her to want to do good. Make it as easy as possible for her to want to do good things for you. Don't do things that will tempt her to get even with you. So like, if you know that she wants to be included on certain types of decisions, then don't just make those decisions without her and encourage her to get angry with you. So you need to consider the woman that you made a commitment to while you're making these decisions. Verse 13, if she's looking for wool and flax so that she can work, number one, praise her that she's doing such a good job doing that. If you know that she's looking for certain materials and you see some, bring them home to her. Like, I mean, it's easy. If she's using those materials to make matching shirt and shorts, wear that shirt and shorts proudly, even if they look terrible, even if they don't look like they're from the latest designer's line, right? If she's being industrious, be proud of what she's doing. Encourage her. Verse 14 describes her being like a merchant ship, bringing food from afar. What can we men do with that? Notice and comment the effort that she's putting in. That's bringing in food from afar. That's a huge effort. Notice it, comment, commend her on that. Don't childishly refuse to only eat my normal menu. if she goes through a lot of effort to make something special, eat that something special, even if you don't think you're going to like it. Appreciate and positively reinforce your industrious wife. Verse 15, she rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. If she's up being industrious and you're trying to sleep, don't complain about the noise. She's being industrious for you. That's what we can do. Don't be grateful for the, or you need to be grateful for the selflessness and dedication that she's displaying. And you need to tell her that you're grateful that she's doing it. That's something that we men can do to help our wives be an excellent wife. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. If that's what she's trying to do, give her the trust that she needs to make these kinds of decisions. If that's what she's trying to do, find ways to provide the resources so that she can do it. Maybe she needs some extra money. Maybe she has already saved up some, but she needs more. Maybe she needs money. Maybe she needs your time. Maybe she, if she's considering a plot of land, maybe she wants your help looking at the land to see if it's suitable for whatever she wants to do. Maybe she needs help with, if she's trying to plant a garden on that land, maybe she needs help selecting plants or plowing or sowing or weeding or harvesting or whatever. I mean, there's no shortage of tasks there. Whatever industry she's in, find ways to help her be successful. That's something we can do to help her be an excellent wife. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. If she's supposed to be a strong person, I don't think we're being as helpful as we think we're being if we're pampering our wife and making sure she doesn't ever have to pick up anything heavy. If she wants to pick up something heavy, let her pick up something heavy. That's how she gets strong. I remember joking with one of our friends back in the Virginia congregation. I complimented my wife was strong like bull to my friend. And that my friend cringed, but that was like my wife thought that was the greatest compliment because she was strong like bull. I mean, clearly I probably could have worded it a little better than that, but if she's a strong person, notice it and compliment on it. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good and her lamp doesn't go out at night. If you want her to feel that her prudence and her economy are profitable, how can you help her do that? Maybe you can help her advertise. Maybe you can help her sell whatever she's making. Maybe you can help set up and manufacture it or maintain it or whatever the product is, just help her do it. And if she is trying to work, like when my mom was trying to hand paint those little ornaments with like little tiny dots, don't bump the table. Like, let her work. Give her room. Give her whatever she needs so that she can be successful. Just, sure, I mean, important things come up, but if it's piddly stuff, leave her alone. Handle it yourself. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. Again, what I can see for husbands to do here, if she's trying to do something, provide her the tools that she can be successful. If she needs materials, give her the materials. If she needs help, give her the help. If she needs to maintain her machinery, maintain the machinery. Whatever obstacles you can eliminate for her to be successful, that is our job as a husband. Verse 20, she extends her hands to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. If you want your wife to be considered an excellent wife and meet this verse, maybe we as husbands need to be examples of benevolence. Maybe we don't need to create the greedy atmosphere of mine. Maybe if she's trying to be benevolent and give something to somebody that she sees in need, don't just limit yourself to the sideline and be like, she's got it. Help her. Maybe help notice what needs could be filled. Maybe if I used the example before, if somebody needs a meal and your wife makes a meal, maybe offer to deliver it or help make the meal. Or, I mean, there's no shortage of ways to help out. Verses 21 and 22, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Help your wife plan for future events. Sometimes you know about stuff that's coming up that she doesn't know that's coming up, and you can help her be aware of things to plan for. If she's looking for supplies to, if she's trying to gather supplies so that she can do stuff, like help her be on the lookout for the supplies. And if she wants help, get it for her. If you know that something's coming up, you can tell her about it so that she has time to prepare. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates and when he sits among the elders of the land. If you want your wife to speak well of you, do something worthy of being spoken well of. That's an awkward way to word it. If you want her to say nice things about you, do nice things. Make it easy for her. Don't make it hard for her to come up with nice things to say about you. Don't be a lazy, self-absorbed, good-for-nothing, lousy McLazerton. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, and she supplies belts to the tradesmen. She's making a product to sell to people. Make a room so that she can do her endeavors. She probably needs space to do her work. Find a way to get the space for her. Maybe you can supply and maintain her equipment. If she's making belts for tradesmen, as this verse suggests, like tradesmen, those are men. She's not a man. Maybe you can give her insight on what men find comfortable or useful, and that way be helpful. Just find ways to actively support whatever endeavor she's in. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. We husbands, if we want an excellent wife, according to this passage, we need to do things to encourage her strength. We need to say things that bolster her dignity. We need to help arm her for events of the future and help her be aware of future events. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. If we want our wife to be an excellent wife, we need to praise her for her wisdom. She might show a wise choice in a certain area. Notice that she has made a wise choice and congratulate her. No, that sounds terrible. You know what I mean? No, commend her on her wise choice, and so that she'll be encouraged to make and continue making wise choices in the future. We need to appreciate the wisdom that she shows. And if she suggests that you do wise things, maybe you should do them. Don't stubbornly stick to your way because it's how I've always done it. And when you do the wise things that she suggests and you have good success from them, maybe you should attribute the successes to her wisdom so that she's encouraged to continue to make wise choices. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So we talked about the excellent wife here being proactive and not lazy. If your wife, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. If you want to encourage your wife to not be lazy, maybe you shouldn't always sit on the couch eating Doritos and while she's running around doing all the work, you know, maybe you should be an example. Maybe you should encourage her by also working a lot and being finding ways to better your family. Because I'm positive that there are times when she probably wants to sit on the couch and be lazy. And there are times to sit on the couch and be lazy, but every second of every day is not the right answer for that. We need to find ways as husbands to lead by example and looking well to the ways of our house. Verses 28 and 29, her children rise up and bless her, my husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. When we see our wife doing well, we need to recognize those efforts. We need to praise her for those efforts and give praise where praise is due. Be quick to praise. We need to do a better job of being proactive and praising every chance we get. That's one I'm particularly bad at. So that's why I'm kind of, I'm going through this list and I noticed that I have a lot of work to do. We need to, if you want to encourage your wife towards a certain behavior, then praising her for past instances of that behavior is a great way to do it. Positive reinforcement. So I summarized what the Proverbs 31 woman was, the excellent wife. So if I'm going to take this section and describe the Proverbs 31 man, the Proverbs 31 man is a thoughtful, complimentary man who leads his house by example. He trusts his wife and he equips her with everything she needs in order to excel in her role. And he removes all the obstacles that keep her from doing that. That's the Proverbs 31 man. So a question for you women, the Bible here in 1 Peter chapter 3 says that wives are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. How easy would it be to be submissive to a man who is actively finding ways to support you and help you be successful? It'd be very easy, right? This is what we need to be doing as husbands. We need to be the Proverbs 31 man. Even though these verses are not aimed at us, you can infer that this is what we need to be doing. So like I began, I'm almost done talking to you and we're about to sing one of my favorite songs. Before we start singing that, we started off this talk talking about New Year's resolutions. This is a time of year for a lot of people look back and say, you know, this is what I have done. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. In the new year, let's resolve to do a lot more of the good things and a lot less of the bad things. If you're a woman, a lot of the characteristics described here in Proverbs 31 can help guide you. And I would suggest that if you're a man, you can infer a lot of the characteristics that you are supposed to have also in this same passage, even though it's not written specifically for us. So if this is the invitation part where we invite you to come forward, I haven't talked about salvation in this, but if you want help trying to become a Proverbs 31 woman, if you want help trying to become a Proverbs 31 man, or if you have already started to be that, but you need help maintaining that, Come forward now. Let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing song number 230.